Great. Thank you, Chung. So wonderful to see such a lovely mix of people being welcomed into God's family and the way that God is working. I just want to get everybody very quickly involved with the chance to answer this question. Can you press quick hands up on this? Is it great to be here today to support Anson in his baptism and just to hear how God is working amongst all this variety of people? It's amazing, isn't it? And was it great last Sunday to have an encouraging time together as a church family here? Hands up for that. Was it? Yeah, amen. It was fantastic. And my guests, my friends who came, were so impressed with the love that they sensed, with the welcome they received, and just the sense of God at work amongst us. Last question for the moment. Hands up for this. The Bible's an easy book to read and understand. No hand, fewer hand. Not easy. Yeah, Caroline's giving it the sort of 50-50 wiggle. Mark Twain said, didn't he? It's not the things which I do not understand in the Bible that bothers me, but the things I do understand. So we're going to have a little look at some of those today. We're going to be thinking about the fact that, as we've said, there are some great times of celebration and joy this morning, last Sunday, but there are also some challenging, difficult things as a Christian, and being in relationships with one another is something that's challenging and which can be difficult. It was difficult for the first century Christians, who Peter was writing to in his letter back in these churches scattered across Asia Minor. And it's difficult for us today, living as Christians sometimes, to witness faithfully in our relationships. If we think about those early Christians, persecution and suffering were the norm. They were living under the authority of an occupier of the Roman Empire. They were living amongst unbelieving neighbors. Some of them were slaves. Most of them were foreigners and exiles. We've heard and we've seen this morning how many people from different countries have come here, originally as foreigners, but just like those first century Christians, are being chosen by God to be living stones, being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Not easy. Not easy for those first century Christians. But Peter wanted his readers to know then, and he wants us to know now, that although living for Jesus isn't easy, it is special. And he wants to teach us how we can confidently witness for him in our relationships. We've heard about some of that witnessing this morning, and we're going to continue to think about it. We're going to look at today's passage, which is the first 9 verses of 1 Peter 3. So if you've got a Bible with you, can I encourage you to turn to that, please? If you need a church Bible, do put up your hands and a steward will come and will bring those to you. You maybe want to have a Bible on your phone if that's your preference. But we're going to read the passage together and then just pull out a couple of key things that we can take away with us today. Reading from 1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 9. Wives, in the same way, submit yourself to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For in this way, the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Now, if I'm honest, I found preparing for today and this passage actually quite tricky for a couple of reasons. I'm aware, as we've heard, that we've got a wonderfully diverse church family here in front of me. Some of you are wives, some of you are husbands, but certainly not all of you. And although a large part of this passage clearly addresses wives and husbands, this comes within the context of Peter's teaching for the church as a whole. And so there's much for us, whatever our situation in life. And secondly, our context is quite different in many ways from that into which Peter was writing. And as I come to read these words, I come not as a persecuted first century believer, but as a 21st century Christian man and husband. And so as we come to the Bible, we have the challenge of seeking to read it and understand it in its original context, trying to avoid our own cultural bias and cultural filters, but still trying to seek it and apply it individually and collectively in our own lives. But it is possible to get tripped up by what the Bible and what the text doesn't say, rather than focusing on what it does say. And so today, we're going to just quickly have a look at a kind of three-pronged approach to this passage. What is Peter not saying? What is he saying? And then, importantly, so what? So these first couple of verses that we've read, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them don't believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Here Peter is not saying, wives, you're inferior to your husbands. They have the right to lord it over you. You must obey their every instruction, meet their every need, fulfill their desire. They're the bosses, so just get on with it. That's not what he's saying. What is he saying? He's saying, wives, in the same way, submit to your husbands, respect their authority, respect order in the home, don't rebel, don't nag, set a great Christ-like example. Now we've got those words, wives, in the same way. Submit in the same way as what? That's the key to this. And 2 weeks ago, when Helen was speaking on Peter 1 Peter 2, we had the verses which explain this. It's the same way that Christ submitted. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you. He's your example. You must follow in his footsteps. He never sinned nor even deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. So here is our first key point. Submission, as the passage tells us, isn't a sign of weakness. Submission is a supreme act of spiritual strength. Submission says, I'm not going to argue, I'm not going to fight, I'm going to trust God. This might not be my first choice, but I'm willing to cooperate with you out of love and respect for God and love and respect for you. And submission isn't easy because it costs us our own pride. But it cost Jesus his life. Again, those preceding verses. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you're healed. Now, Peter tells his readers that Jesus was prepared to submit to death on the cross so that they could be freed from the curse of sin and death and free to live in the way that's right. And so Peter instructs those first century wives to submit as a witness to Christ, to submit so that husbands who didn't know Jesus might at least respect the faith of their wives and allow them to continue in it, and at best might turn to Jesus themselves and choose to follow Christ. Submission is not easy, but it brings glory to God. And submission today brings glory to God. I know we've got men in our church family who have been won over for Jesus by the Christ-like example of their wives. But we also have some really faithful Christian women amongst us whose husbands don't share their faith. And when that's the case, then that is hard. That is really hard. And if that's you, don't give up. Keep going. God is working. He will work through you. And so do trust it and leave it with him. Not easy, but witnessing for Jesus is something special. Peter carries on in his instruction. And now he starts to talk about beauty. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Peter not saying, don't bother taking care of your appearance. You don't have to have your hair done nicely. Don't wear nice clothes or any jewelry. Nobody cares how you look, and your husband doesn't either. It's not what he's saying. He's saying that true beauty comes from godly character, not physical looks. And you may remember a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned I'd been to the Pearl Project Awards in Kingston, invited by Tracy Broadfield from the Kingston Women's Hub, who came to the service the day after. And never was the principle of Peter's teaching more evident than that evening. The Pearls were all beautiful women, women of different ages, different cultural backgrounds, with different looks. And as part of the awards, they'd had a makeover, they'd had a hairstyling session done, and they all looked great, both for the photos and on the evening themselves. But their beauty was not in their looks, but in their character, in their heart, and in their spirit, a spirit shaped by difficult years of hardship and suffering, but now timeless and of great worth in God's sight. And as I was preparing, I just had a sense there may be a few people here this morning who need to hear that same affirmation, that God sees you as beautiful. You are beautiful in his sight. We are all made in God's image. We are made to reflect the character of Christ. We are image bearers of God. That is his intention. So if you're somebody who's concerned about your looks and whether your quiet spirit and gentle character is of value to God, know this: you're beautiful and you're special. Now, guys out there, you're not all beautiful. Some of you are all right. But how are you doing? Are you sticking with me? Because Peter addresses husbands now as well. And he says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them as the weaker partner and as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. What isn't he saying? Peter's not saying men are more intelligent and just generally better at things than women. Women are weak and need taking care of. He's not saying that. He is saying, husbands, your wife is your equal in God's gift of life. So treat her with love, with respect, and with understanding. The way we treat those we love will reflect and affect our relationship with God. And the Bible uses marriage as a picture of Jesus' relationship with his church. A husband is called to love his wife as Christ loves the church, giving himself up for her and praying for her. And prayer here is important. Peter emphasizes that. And perhaps there's a challenge for all of us here. If we're married, do we consciously set aside time in the morning, in the evening, to pray together with our partners, or a longer time, regularly, some point during the course of our week, to come together under Christ's headship? If we're not married, maybe there's also a challenge for us. Do we have a prayer partner? Somebody who we can meet with regularly? Somebody to pray with us and somebody who we can pray for? I've massively valued that over the years. I don't always manage it as much as I'd like, but I'd really encourage you, if you haven't got a prayer partner, to seek one out. Praying together in marriage and in relationship isn't always easy, but it's powerful and it's special. And then Peter's remarks to all. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. What's Peter not saying? He's not saying, as a Christian, if people are rude to you or behave badly towards you, you should just ignore it and get on with it. What he is saying is that we're all called to live in unity with humility, compassion, and love. Called to turn the other cheek, to forgive and bless even those who are seemingly against us. And as you live to bless those around you, God himself blesses you. Again, I shared a couple of weeks ago an example of someone in our church family who had blessed somebody else who'd bumped into their car. And God had used that incident and that act and that person's attitude to bless others and not to respond, to bless both parties. Who could you bless over this coming week or in the run-up to Christmas? Don't wait to have a car accident to do it. Yes, do bless your wife. Do bless your husband. Bless someone you know and love well. But beyond them, how about blessing someone who you find difficult? Somebody who's wronged you, perhaps. Got a couple of Advent calendars still left on this first day of December. Maybe a difficult colleague at work or a neighbor who's given you a hassle. Take one, give it to them as a blessing. In blessing people, you aren't selling yourself short, but you're following the example and the witness of Christ. So in conclusion, if we're honest, relationships aren't easy. The challenge of living out Peter's teaching in our relationships, both with those we love and those we find difficult, isn't easy. Submitting, trusting, loving, and blessing are not easy things to do. But we can take confidence from the fact that as we seek to live with and to relate to others in a Christ-like way, we help Jesus to build his kingdom, just as we've heard how his kingdom is being built by this wonderful group of people who we've heard from this morning. That's something special. So let's treasure that, let's hold on to that, and let's keep seeking Jesus' way in that. Amen.